want to continue on our series of looking at the gifts of the Spirit. As you can see today, I'm going to try and talk about wisdom and knowledge. You may think I'm not very well equipped for either. But there are dozens, if not hundreds, of references to both wisdom and knowledge in the Bible. And I want to read one passage that I found in Romans chapter 11. As you notice, I'm assisted by my beautiful assistant this morning. And I'm hoping we're missing Will. I missed him with the missions video going wrong on me, but I'm sure this won't go wrong. Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. As I said, we're going to look at two specific gifts, and that is the gifts of wisdom and knowledge. And I'm going to start with them the other way up. I'm going to start with knowledge. The word itself is actually very familiar to us. Knowledge. And perhaps this is our greatest understanding of what it means. This is the first line of the dictionary reference. It says, acquaintance with facts, truths or principles, as from study or investigation, and general erudition. And that's just a clever way of saying learning. But you know, I said this a couple of weeks ago, I think I spoke, and I said this, that the knowledge will tell you that tomato is botanically a fruit, but wisdom will tell you not to put it in a fruit salad. However, we don't want to look this morning at knowledge as a matter of learning, but more in line with a second description. And it says this, acquaintance or familiarity gained by sight, experience or report. Now that's a secular definition. Let's read it again with two words added. Acquaintance or familiarity gained by sight, experience or report from God. From God. It's a knowledge from the Spirit of God. Now this gift of knowledge, it's when God speaks to us. It's not something you can pick up a book and read. It's not something you can find by listening to some clever person in a cafe somewhere giving you some information. It's because it's been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. God speaks into our hearts. One writer defined it as that light bulb moment. And suddenly, something clicks. And it's as though you've read and read and read. And you can read the Bible. And you can read page after page after page. You think, well, am I reading this? Where's it going? And all of a sudden, click. That light bulb moment comes. And God reveals to us the insight of what's there. And it becomes alive. God doesn't always speak to us, of course, with light bulb moments of inspiration. He comes and speaks to us in different ways. But she says this about knowledge as well. The gift of knowledge can be said to be knowing something that we could not have otherwise known. It's when God comes along to you, know, and we'll read a couple of scriptures in a moment, and God has said, this is the answer to the problem. This is what you should say in this situation. This is how you should respond to that person. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 17. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon, he asked. From whom do the kings of earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others? From others, Peter answered. Then the children are exempt, Jesus said to him. But so that we may not cause offence, go to the lake, throw out your line, take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." And it just occurred to me, there are two things there. Jesus had a gift of knowledge to go, that the coin would be in the fish's mouth. And we can also look at that as a miracle. When we come to talk about gifts of miracles, we can look at that. But also it says that when they entered the house, Jesus was the first to speak. He was the first to speak and respond because he had a word from God to tell them, to tell him that there was a problem. And you'll see this many times. You can go through your Bibles and you can see Jesus going up to the two disciples and saying, "What are you arguing about?" How did he know? He knew because he had a word of knowledge. So moving on to the next slide, I think. Knowledge is receiving a spiritual revelation of something you would not otherwise have known. Was that slide 14? Is that there? No? Okay, alright. Sorry, got it wrong. It's only... But Pat, thinking the other week when Pat spoke, you know, that she talked about God giving her words. And sometimes the words don't make sense. You probably remember that she was praying with someone and God came along to her and spoke to her and said, "Radishes." And you've got to think, "Hang on, God, you know, what about radishes? We're not into gardening this afternoon." And God said, "No. This person is going to be like a radish. They're planted quickly, they grow quickly, they're harvested quickly." And it's getting revelation from God. Remember hearing David Pawson tell the story of an old lady being pushed in a wheelchair to the front of the prayer line. And it's like these big meetings, these big rallies. If you want prayer, come forward. And it's almost like you pray for the one person who's still sat down. But this lady being pushed forward in a wheelchair, crippled with arthritis, couldn't get out of the chair, couldn't move her hands hardly. And David Pawson said to her, "You need to forgive your first husband." And this woman, something inside her, just responded to the word of God. She actually reacted in a very negative way. But David Pawson had heard exactly from God what was causing this woman to be so crippled with arthritis. As I was preparing, I listened to a speaker I've met a couple of times, and he was speaking on this, and he told of going to a big meeting, and he was stood outside in the foyer of the big meeting, and he could see a couple walking towards him, and God gave him specific words. He said, "That lady was diagnosed with cancer 3 months ago, and the other lady with her has just lost her mother or someone similar, and recently has died." And he's there, and there are crowds milling round. "What can I do?" "Nothing. I must hold back." But he had a word of knowledge. We'll come to the other half of the story in a little while. So spiritual knowledge, and it is spiritual knowledge we're talking about, is not gained from books or encyclopedias. It's not learnt in school. And it's not learned on a Sunday morning from listening to the sermon. I'm not talking about giving you gifts of knowledge as I speak out. In fact, it's a specific gift from God designed to open up people to receive God's blessing. And I think it's important to say at this stage that gifts of knowledge are not given to expose people, but to set them free. That's quite important. Look at the woman at the well. If we pick up the story in John chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water.' He told her, 'Go call your husband and come back.' 'I have no husband,' she replied. Jesus said to her, 'You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true.'" Jesus had a word of knowledge from the Father. And he was wise, and we'll look at wisdom in a minute, but he was wise in the way he applied it. He didn't wait till there was a big crowd round her and said, "You horrible woman, you're living in sin with this man who should be at least your sixth husband." But he said, spoke to her quietly at the side of the well, and spoke to her in a way which drew her into the conversation. He didn't sort of sit down and said, "Oh, you're that woman then. You're the one who lives, as I say, over the brush," but that's probably an old-fashioned expression now, isn't it? It's more likely over the Dyson. But it's a matter of applying. As we look at wisdom, we'll see how it's important how we apply what God tells us. But let's just summarise on knowledge first. A word of knowledge is something you wouldn't otherwise have known. It may be available elsewhere, but often without probing personal questions, which would probably do more harm than good, you won't find out. You know, you imagine Jesus stood at the well, and this woman comes up and sits down and says, "So, how many husbands have you had?" You know, it's not the way you find out things, is it? You know, if I came up to you and I started asking questions like, "Who does he think he is? What's he after?" But the word of knowledge comes and tells us that which we couldn't find out without asking very difficult questions. But there are four things, or five things, that we can look and see that the word of knowledge can be. It can be the audible voice of God. Sometimes you will actually hear God just whisper in your ear. Talk to that person about their relationship with their cousin or something like that, and God will come and specifically speak to you. Secondly, and this is a word I know that Pastor uses a lot, it's a feeling in our spirit. This morning, when we broke in worship, Pastor said, "I'm stopping worship for a few moments to share because I feel in my spirit that it's right." God has spoken into his spirit to do something. Yeah? So we hear it in our spirit. Some of you will receive pictures from the Lord. Yeah? God speaks to us in pictures at different times. Sometimes it's a flash of inspiration. It's that light bulb moment that something comes. And other times it's a response to things that we've seen or heard. You know, you might have seen something on the way to church this morning, and suddenly God says, "That's how that fits in to that situation." So that's the word of knowledge. That's how God speaks to us. Let's go back to our tomato for a minute. Botanically, it tells us that it's a fruit, but don't put it in a fruit salad. If you want to be really pedantic, and if you were to live in America, a tomato is a vegetable. By law, a case was taken to court because there were different taxes on fruits and vegetables. So just to risk anybody coming up to me afterwards who's read the same bit of Wikipedia as I have. Someone called Nix was taken to court and told he had to pay the vegetable tax on a tomato. But it's the wisdom bit I want to look at. It's the wisdom bit that says it might be a fruit, it might be a vegetable, but please don't put it in a fruit salad. Let's look at the dictionary definitions. First one says it's a quality or state of being wise. Well, I think we could work that one out for ourselves, couldn't we? It's a knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action. I'm not even sure how to pronounce this next word. Sagacity, I think. I think it's a hard G. Sagacity, it's wisdom. It's being wise. It's the sage, I think, is where it comes from. You know, the sages in Good King Wenceslas and that, those sages were the wise people. The people were gifted with the ability to think and think things through. Going on, it's a scholarly knowledge or learning. And it talks about the wisdom of the schools. It's sometimes we get wise sayings. I seem to remember some ways. My mother was a wise woman, you know. And do you remember that saying? A wise act or saying, maybe you don't. And in the Bible, it talks about the wisdom of Solomon. And we'll look at that in a moment. One commentator says this about the spiritual gift of wisdom. I don't particularly like it, but I'll read it out to you. "The gift of wisdom is the ability to have insight into people and situations that is not obvious to the average person. combined with an understanding of what to do and how to do it. It is the ability to not only see, but also apply the principles of God's word to the practical matters of life by the Spirit of wisdom. And another commentator said, wisdom should have prime place in both church and mission. It should be guiding us as to what to say in a particular situation. But this is the definition I like. Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. And if we see situations from God's perspective, we can have all the knowledge, and someone can come along and say, look at this situation, so and so has done this. You react. And wisdom says, hold back. How does God see the situation? How is God working in this particular way? Let's have a look at some biblical examples as we go through. Colossians chapter 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If we want to work and move in the things of God, then we need to be listening to God's voice. And we need to be not only listening to God's voice for the word of a situation, but we need to be listening to God saying, and this is what you do with it. So God's going to do two things. He's going to give you the word radishes, and then he's going to tell you what it means and how to apply it. One's the knowledge, and the other's the wisdom. And in a nutshell, if we want to be wise, if we want wisdom and knowledge, then we need to be like Jesus. We need to be growing more and more like Jesus. Jesus had the amazing ability to hear the words of the Pharisees. And you've heard, you know, you can go back to your Bible and you can look and you can see the Pharisees coming and condemning. They came with their clever questions. Doesn't your master pay the temple tax? Jesus knew just how to respond. He knew, if you like, the legal answer. The legal answer, well, of course, I'm a child of God. I don't need to pay the temple tax. But he also knew the wisdom was to pay it to keep the peace of that situation. And he knew how to find it as well. And it's that wisdom that we're seeking today. True godly wisdom will guide us in not only what to say, but when to say it. When to say it. See, as a simple example, I mentioned this man at the big meeting, and he sees these two ladies, and one's just been diagnosed with cancer, and another's just lost a relative. And he knew from God it wasn't the right time to speak. But after the meeting, as the crowds were thinning, these two came forward. And he was able to go up to them and say, can I have a word? Can I just talk to you for a moment? God's given me something to say to you. And he said then, and they could then say, now I know that you've just been diagnosed with an illness. But he was able to then further take what God would say. And it's wisdom. It's not walking out and speaking out at the wrong time. Obviously there are three types of wisdom. There's the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the world, and the wisdom of man. Once again, you can't learn it from books. You cannot read the Encyclopedia Britannica from cover to cover and be wise. It doesn't work. Sometimes we learn wisdom as we go through life, but we're looking to learn the wisdom of God. And in a way, it's a bit like patience, you know, we want it now. And we want wisdom now. We can't wait 10 years to grow wise. We need the wisdom of God today. Let's have a look at Solomon. Well known as a wise man. 1 Kings 3 tells us of two women. Do you know the story? Two ladies, both with babies. They go to sleep, and one woman wakes up during the night and finds that a baby has died. Now obviously she's greatly distressed and she didn't want to lose a child. And she saw the other woman with the young child. And so she quickly went in the middle of the night and swapped the two babies. So that when the other woman woke up in the morning, she saw this lady with a nice baby there, all happy, giggling and being fed. And her baby was dead. But something inside her clicked, as all women will know, they will recognize their own child. She said, "That's not my baby. You've got my child." And a big row and an argument ensued. And eventually someone said, "We're going to have to go to Solomon to decide what to do about this." And Solomon heard all the story and he took one look at the two ladies and he said, "I've got the answer. Bring me a sword. We will cut the baby in half and you can have half each." And the woman who had the child at that time said, "Yes, that's a good idea, do that." But the other woman, whose baby it really was, said, "No, please don't do that. Do not kill the child." And Solomon said, "You're the mother. It's your baby. You would rather the child live with someone else than for it to die." And hence we get the saying, the wisdom of Solomon. Now I want to introduce a third gift. Yes, I have got a slide that gives the title of this. The third gift is that of discernment. Because wisdom can be clearly linked to discernment. We've already spoken about tongues and prophecy and now knowledge and wisdom. And the gift of discernment will help us, and we may come back and look at this in more depth later, but we need this gift to help us understand and how to apply what God's saying to us. We need to be able to discern the truth of God from the lies of Satan. God is truth. God cannot lie. Right? That's emphatic. That's a given, if you like. A way of expression. But God cannot lie. His word is truth. Satan is the father of all lies, and the truth is not in him. Look at what it says in John chapter 8. "You belong to your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies." Now sometimes we'll hear a word which appears to come from God. And it's that gift of discernment working within us that's going to tell us whether it's from God or not. Now some words are quite easy to discern. If I stand here this morning and say, "I've got a word for you, Ruth. God loves you." We won't have any difficulty in deciding whether or not that's a word from God. But there are some words that we get for people, and we have to really be careful as to whether or not they're from God. It may be a chastisement. It may be a change of direction for someone. "Phil, I can see you walking out onto the mission field." And Phil said, "I'm not sure that's from God." You see what I'm saying? We need the gift of discernment to make sure. Sometimes we need to pray. Often we need to pray. We always need to pray. But in situations with a word from God, we need to seek God and say, "God, is that really from you?" I read a book once called "Is That Really You, Lord?" And it was a book written by the founder of Youth with a Mission. But God had spoken to him. God had said to Lauren Cunningham, "Lauren, I want you to go to the nations. I want you to take my word through young people." And he stood back and asked this amazing question, "Is that really you, Lord?" And you can understand why he was asking, because he was going to change the rest of his life. But he needed to be sure that it was from God. You know, sometimes people come up and say, "I've got a word from the Lord for you." You know, young man goes up to a pretty girl and says, "I've got a word from the Lord. I'm going to marry you." And the pretty girl said, "Well, God has not told me." And we need wisdom to to recognize which is true and that. The gift of discernment helps us to know the true source. We need wisdom to know when and how to speak. If God gave me a word that one of you right now is involved in or thinking of being involved in an extramarital affair, it would not be appropriate for me to bring this word at this time. I don't think it would be appropriate, and I don't think it would be appreciated. It would certainly give you something to talk about over coffee. But wisdom gives us the correct approach. It tells us when to speak and when to be quiet. It gives us the right time and the place to reveal what God has said. This slide. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. I didn't realise it was a quote from Alexander Pope, but it says so there. We must also consider the times when we've acted and not acted on a word from God. You know, we need wisdom to look at some of these things, don't we? God has spoken to people. Even this morning as I speak, something I have said may touch your heart. Now the real question, and your wisdom, what are you doing with it? Maybe some of you write, oh, it was only Duncan. Had it been the big speaker that they're going to have tonight at Open Doors, well, it would have been a bit more appropriate then. What do we do with the Word of God when we get it? Do we act on it? Or do we just sort of ask as many people as we can what they think in hopes that we'll find the right person who agrees with what we want them to say? We need the wisdom of God, the discernment of God coming into our lives so that we act at the right time. We had somebody the other week, and I think came to Pat and said, thank you for what you said. You know, that's been said to me before and I've done nothing about it. Suddenly the light bulb moment comes and says, you've got to do something about it. Now's the time to start moving. We need these spiritual gifts. As Pat's already put the slide up, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Moving in the gift of wisdom helps us to respond to the many callings on our life. When God brings inspiration through a word of knowledge, a tongue, a prophecy, then wisdom and discernment come into play to help us. If the word is from someone else, we need to discern the truth and then use wisdom to decide how to respond. And the word is always respond, not react. Yeah, I've had situations, I've spoken out, and people have reacted. How dare he say that in church? But we need the wisdom of God to know how to respond. And we've seen these gifts of knowledge, wisdom and discernment. The gifts are given to help open up people to receive God's blessing. And that's important, you know. God doesn't just think, oh, that'll be a nice word to say this morning. That'll bring a smile to someone's face. No, God is speaking to us so that we can bless other people. So that we know how to respond to God's word. In James chapter 1, it says this. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Now it would be easy just to read verse 5. Verse 5 just says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Wonderful. Lord, I need wisdom. But we need to read Scripture in its entirety, in its context. Otherwise we get it wrong. I've said it before, you know, a text out of context is a pretext. And it's so true. It says, yes, we should ask God. We should seek God because he'll give it to us generously. But when we ask, we must believe and not doubt. So when we say to God, God, I want wisdom, but you know, I don't think he'll really give it me. Have we done that before? Have we done that when we've asked for something? When we've asked, perhaps as we come and look at healing later on another occasion. God, I want you to heal this person, but it's all right if you don't. We've got to ask, believing. And having believed, we have to trust. When you ask God for something, do you trust that He's actually going to do it? Or do you doubt? Do you need wisdom? There's an interesting question this morning. Do you need wisdom? If you do, I want to ask you to come for prayer. I'm going to close the meeting with prayer. Managed to finish on 12:30, how's that? But if you need wisdom, come forward. If you've perhaps received a word from someone and not acted on it, come forward, let us pray for you. If you've received a word and it's churned something up inside you, come for prayer. Come and seek God. Father, thank you for the gifts that you bestow so generously on each of your people. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that there are times when you know that we need to know something and you speak words into our lives. Father, thank you, Lord, that you give us wisdom to know how to move on with the words that you've given us. And Father, now, I pray, Lord God, that for each one of us, Lord, if we need wisdom, you'll speak into our lives. If we need to come before you and seek your forgiveness for the way we've responded to something, the way we've reacted, Father God, would you speak into our lives this morning? Would you bring us that knowledge of your love, the wisdom of how to handle it, Lord God? And wisdom for the future, Father God, so that we can walk forward in your strength and move forward in faith in you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.